You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Māori Council has launched a new program in an attempt to lift Māori from poverty. Ikarunga will establish a national network of mentors to provide workplace support for both the employer and the employee to navigate through the cultural differences and iron out the kinks as people begin their employment journey. I spoke to Māori Council CEO Matthew Tukaki about the scheme and began by asking him to explain what Ikarunga was.
So it's a way of trying to alleviate our people from poverty, and not just young people so they get caught in the poverty trap later on in their working life, but also trying to work with in particular Māori males who fill the trades areas like plumbing and gas fitting and bricklaying and glazing and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's only so long you can do that up until your middle years before basically the joints give out. And then it's also very much focused on Māori women who enter into retirement, and quite often they have been part of the low-wage, low-growth side of the economy. And so when you're part of that side of the economy, you aren't able to save for retirement. You're always stuck on that trap of robbing Peter to pay Paul and just only getting by, or only having enough money from your wage to pay the bills that are here today. And so what we're trying to do is at every level ensure that we raise our people from being part of that low side of the economy to being able to earn more, to lift their earning potential, to increase their skills base. And I think also the point I make to people, yes, it is true that Māori fill that spot down the bottom because that's what we've always done. Well, you know, I'm here to say that if you want to plant trees, not a problem. Be part of that side of the economy, not a problem. I get it. You're an outdoors person, go for it. But what I'm also interested in doing is making sure that our young people in particular have the opportunities that are right here, right now, when it comes to the digital economy, when it comes to online, when it comes to this new medium of news and content creation on social media, because it also gives them a voice, but it can also be a career choice as well, which is part of that lifting people out of that low wage growth side of the economy. So that's where we're going here. And I've said to a couple of politicians, well, I said a few things to a couple of politicians who otherwise wanted to probably block their ears yesterday, but I said to them, if we want to truly, honestly break the poverty cycle, particularly when it comes to Māori, and give our kids choices into the future, then we need to address the fact that we're not paid that much and we're barely paid that much to keep the lights on in our own houses.
What kind of support will the program provide? But I just would like to know some sort of specific examples of what offers.
So the first thing is we're going to be completely re-engineering MartyEverywhere.com, which has been really much a news and content distribution service for both the Māori Council and the New Zealand Māori Authority. So what we're planning on doing is re-engineering it to provide tools that people can access online, and also we're going to add something pretty exciting, which is a jobs marketplace. So in the online world, there'll be templates about how you can build a better resume. There'll be video content around how you can do your two-minute elevator pitch, because essentially when you reach that job interview, you've got 2 minutes to really get your message across. And I'll just say this, if it's one thing our people are really good at, we're never short of telling a really good story. So how do we convert that storytelling technique into the boardroom or into the interview room and that sort of thing? So there'll be hot tips, there'll be all sorts of that sort of content. What we're also going to be doing in the jobs marketplace is once we've been building these relations with business and industry, and that process has already been done, that's been underway for a couple of months now, we'll be providing ease of access to jobs that otherwise just float around in the recruitment world, and they really just headhunt those people that are in their database looking a whole lot of other people out. So there'll be a jobs marketplace, and the message in the theme there is don't be afraid to apply for the job. Even though you might not have the qualifications, give it a red hot go. And then on the other side, we're working with these same employers to change their mindsets and their behaviours, and my message to them, because I think a lot of people forget, I used to run the world's largest and biggest employment company, Drake International. You know, that was a significant organisation around the world. And so I know that sometimes employers are too risk averse, and yet at the same time I also know that talent that was sitting in front of them on a piece of paper is exactly who they needed, but they just didn't meet that sort of criteria that recruitment companies often lay out there. So it's very much to the employers, change your behaviours and your mindsets, when you see a resume with a Māori name on it. Don't be afraid to turn past the first page, you know what I mean? And then the third part of this is entering into the physical world. So we've got mentors that are right around the country. So Brent Vahana, for example, who used to run the Māori Small Business and Entrepreneurs Network, he's based here in Auckland. I got a message from one of FOMA's senior executives, Natalie Smith, this morning. She's all in. And so we've got these mentors right across the country who can, whenever you need support, and they'll do some checking in as well, whenever you need some support in the workplace or just run some ideas by somebody, we're here to help you. And we're also here to help the employer as well. So if something happens in the workplace and there is some sort of cultural divide sort of thing going on, well, we can help you bridge that cultural divide. So that's some of the tools and things that we're going to be releasing steadily now up until Christmas.
Now, I think it's really, really interesting, something that you just said earlier, sort of employers are afraid of the risk of employing certain people and they perhaps don't meet their criteria. What sort of risks does employing a Māori person what are the risks of that?
So let's have an honest conversation around stereotypes. So we have two forms of behaviour in the employment world. The first is conscious behaviour, where somebody consciously rules somebody out immediately before possibly even meeting them, because you know what, the last name just doesn't look like a last name I'm used to. In other words, it's not a Smith, it's not a Jones, it's not a Burke, and so on and so forth. Then the next level down, which is actually the most dangerous, is because you know, that's more obvious. See, the conscious sort of thing is much more obvious in the workplace. It's the unconscious thing that is the most dangerous. And unconscious behaviour might be a well-meaning person, but somewhere in the back of their head, this person, I can't employ this person because something just doesn't seem right. And while I would put a note on it saying, well, it's probably that Māori surname or that Pacifica surname or that Chinese surname, that's where we get into the realm of unconscious behaviour. And that is what we need to stamp on really, really quickly. And that's why we want to do a lot of work with employers, but also recruiters. And it's not just about the surname. It's also age discrimination in some forms as well. So imagine you're sitting in front of a 25-year-old HR manager, and you walk in the door and you're 55 years old. They immediately start looking at you as if you're like their father. And what goes through their head, also unconsciously often, is, oh, geez, do I really want to employ my dad? Oh, I don't think my dad would be able to do this job. I don't think this person can do that job either. And so you get into this whole conversation about changing the behaviours that are most obvious in recruitment and HR. But this is the thing. I mean, we often talk about racism because racism is very obvious when it happens. But very often we don't talk about bias when it comes to getting into the workplace. I mean, take me for example. I've got no school qualifications whatsoever. I didn't finish school. I didn't even pass school C. I didn't go to university. I went to Polytech. But, you know, let's face it, that was a good time, not a productive time. Now, if you had have told me that I'd end up being Australia's representative to the UN or chairing Deakin University or doing what I'm doing with the Māori Council and all of these things, I think we both agree I probably have rocks in my head. But one person gave me a chance. One person gave me a chance in my career. He cast aside my resume and he just said, Matt, I'm not interested in what qualifications you may or may not have. I just want to know what kind of person you are. Now, that's made a huge difference in my life. I mean, an unemployed Māori colour with no qualifications, and this bloke gives me that chance, and look where I am at the moment. And that's my message to actually employers. I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm nothing special. I've got no qualifications to speak of, and yet here I am. Imagine if you took a chance on somebody like me, what you could end up with. Yeah, I think my message to our young people, particularly who are at Polytech or at university and are studying, honestly never be afraid of knocking on that door. And if nobody answers the door, kick it down. Just kick the door down. You know, find every single way possible to get the opportunity that you seek in your career. Once you're in that career, take a bit of time to learn the ropes, Don't just get there and immediately start looking for your new job. Batten down the hatches and just learn. Keep your ears open and just listen and learn. Just really zap up that knowledge. And then to particularly Māori males in middle years and women in their latter years, never be afraid to embark on a second career. And in fact, that second career may not be what you trained for. A lot of our people are moving from trades and jobs they trained for. I mean, my dad was a Māori Affairs trade trainee in Auckland, you know. Never be afraid to put aside what you believe your second career to be, because it quite possibly could be, in community services. A lot of our people in their latter years are doing amazing things around the marae, around papakāinga, around all of these different places. So just also change your mindsets to what you potentially could do.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.